You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 17th day of February 2021. And it is the first day where pitchers and catchers are reporting. And I'm going to be doing a What If Wednesday, basically analyzing the fact that the St. Louis Cardinals were basically, well, two umpiring crews away from having a dynasty. Just bear with me on that. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts and you're staying at home during these, well, let's just call them memorable times. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Cardinals with Lucas Smith. Hey, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same for Instagram, same handle. If you have a Sunday request you want to send my way, send it to me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, or maybe even at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, it's the first day of pitchers and catchers reporting, and look it. I don't know what's going to happen this year. You don't know what's going to happen this year, but we're going to have something resembling baseball, and maybe I'll see a game this year. The last time I went to the ballpark was game one of the 2019 division series, where I saw the Los Angeles Dodgers defeat the Washington Nationals. That was the last time, last playoff game in 2019 was the last game that I attended. Obviously, I didn't see anything last year. I am a little gun shy about going to any large event. The interesting thing is, though, your pal Sully is going to be in a couple weeks working at a school. I've been working at one school. I'm going to be moving to a different school. Don't ask. It's just they sign you to different places. And this I'm doing through Cal State Fullerton. And the school that I'm being assigned to is one highway exit away from Angel Stadium in Anaheim. So there's going to be that temptation to say, I have a free night. The Angels are right there. Mike Trout's playing. Well, I hope to see a game this year. I hope to see a game. And I hope that I hope everyone does everything smart. I hope everyone does everything safe. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it still going on, and I'm tired. I'm tired of people I'm knowing getting affected by it, sometimes dying by it. So I want us to all be able to just go to a game eventually, and get vaccinated, and our lives are never going to be exactly the same, but I want to get some resemblance to it back. And I certainly want to go back to watching some baseball. Hey, I am going to do a Sunday request, but I am going to point out something that I saw. Baseball Prospectus did a weird predictions for the games based on whatever analysis that they have. And I broke it down, and I did not understand any of it. I really didn't understand any of it. Just stuff made no sense to me. They had teams like the Astros and the Yankees having elite records, and teams like the Braves and the White Sox and the Cardinals hovering around 500. I did not understand what I was looking at. Now, a six-person panel at USA Today listed their projections, and do you know what? These make more sense to me. Now, they have the Yankees as having the best record in the American League at 94 wins. I still think that's a little high, but okay. They have in their postseason the division winners as the Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, Houston Astros. One of the wild card teams they have is Tampa Bay. And then basically one game separates three teams, Minnesota, Oakland, and Toronto, the way this would unfold, the A's would be the odd man out, finishing three games behind the Astros. The Twins and the Blue Jays would have to play a one-game playoff to play the one-game playoff against Tampa, and the winner of that would wind up playing the Yankees. Tampa Bay versus the Yankees would be a nightmare for the Yankees. Toronto versus the Yankees would be pretty much evenly matched. And of course, if it's Minnesota versus the Yankees, of course Minnesota will lose. That's just the way it is. The National League has their division leaders as Atlanta, St. Louis, and Los Angeles. They have LA as having the best record in baseball with 105 wins. They have the second best record in baseball as the San Diego Padres, finishing 10 games behind the Dodgers for the wild card. I still say get rid of the divisions. At this point, get rid of the divisions, because I don't want to see another thing like what happened in 2015, where the three best teams in baseball were St. Louis, Chicago, and the Pirates. But those, because they were all in the same division, Chicago and Pittsburgh played each other in the wild card game, so one of the three best teams were out. And then the winner of that had to play St. Louis in the division series. So by the time you got to the league championship series, no matter what, two of the best three teams in baseball were going to be eliminated before the league championship series. Just have it be the American League or the National League, top three teams get in, and then teams number four and five play a play-in game. That's how you do it. You know, because in this case, the Padres would have the second best record in baseball, but they would have to play the Mets in a one-game playoff because they have the Mets as the wild card team along with San Diego. Well, guess what? The Mets pitched Jacob DeGrom and a bloop hit here or there, and they win 2-1, and the Padres are playing golf. Okay. But they have Atlanta, St. Louis, and Los Angeles as the division leaders, and the wild card game between the Mets and the Padres with the Nationals, the Phillies, Brewers, and Cubs right behind, you know, sort of like all bunched in there. They have the worst team in baseball being the Pittsburgh Pirates at 57 and 105. They have 300 lost teams, Baltimore losing 102 games, Detroit losing 101 games. Okay. This ranking makes a little more sense to me, especially because I totally agree with the division winners with Atlanta. I think Atlanta is the best team in the National League East. The other prediction had the Mets. I think the Mets will be fine. I think the Mets will be a contender. I think the Braves are just much better. They have St. Louis winning the Central. Again, I think the Cardinals and the Brewers are the top teams in that. I think the Cardinals are just better than everyone else. I don't have a lot. They have the Cubs at 82 and 80. I don't see them that high. I see them having a losing record. And obviously San Diego is going to be very good, and the rest of the West is just going to be, you know, flummoxed. How they pick the Central with winning records for the Cubs, the Twins, and Cleveland, that all makes sense to me. And how they have the AL East. They have the Yankees up top with the Rays and the Jays. They have the Red Sox with a losing record. They have the Red Sox at 80 and 82. That's still high for me. But, all right, I think they're going to be a mediocre team. I don't think they're going to be terrible. And they have the Orioles, as I said, as a 100-loss team. They have the Angels at hovering around 500. I really hope so. The thing that I still don't get is putting Houston up top. I don't see what everyone else is seeing with the Astros. Now, granted, they have them as an 89-win team, which, you know, I don't know. I see them as hovering around 500. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm seeing something else. But do you know what? All this will be moot because pretty soon pitchers and catchers will be reporting, and before you know it, ball games will be played. Now, the Dodgers have one World Series title, a truncated one. Now they want a full season one, so no one will say, yeah, they won the World Series. It was all blah, 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 blah. Forget it. Dodgers will probably contend big time for the World Series in 2021 and are drooling to put all their critics to bed
and maybe put together a dynasty in this decade. A dynasty which makes me think of another decade where a team became tantalizingly close to the point where maybe they should have had a dynasty.
If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you, Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice and guest of this podcast, Aram Lighton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Podcast is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts.
Dodgers last won a World Series before last year was in 1988. The 80s were a weird decade. There was no one dominant team. There was no dynasty. The Dodgers were the only team to win multiple World Series titles. But the 81 championship and the 88 championship, they bore almost no, those teams bore very little resemblance to each other. A couple of players bridged both of the teams, but they had a definitely different personality. And the 80s were strange because you had a couple of truly dominant teams, but they didn't dominate for long. You know, the Tigers had that one great year. The Mets had that one great year. You had the A's at the end were having some solid years and one excellent year, but you didn't have that one team that seemed to take over the decade. Their team came really, really close. Really, really close. And looking over past games and looking over some classic games, I realized how close they came. And if instant replay existed in the 1980s the way it does now, the St. Louis Cardinals probably would have been the dynasty of the 1980s. Now, you know, look, I got to just say, I love watching old baseball games or listening to old baseball games. It's absolutely terrific. But the game that really made me realize how close the Cardinals came to having a dynasty and how the blown calls by the umpire basically cost them. Like, what if they had, I guess this is turning into a what if Wednesday. What if they had instant replay? Would the Cardinals have had a dynasty? The game that I'm thinking about was from the 1987 World Series. Sully, you might be thinking, don't you mean the 1985 World Series? The Don Dankinger game? No, I'm talking about the 87. Now, we all know about the Don Dankinger game. There was a blown call. It was one of the most brutal blown calls in baseball history at the time and for the importance of it, in that the Cardinals were three outs away from winning the World Series. George Orta grounded out. The throw was to Todd Worrell covering first base. The throw beat him. The foot was on the bag. Dankinger called him safe. The Royals rallied. They won that game, and they blew the doors off the dump in Game 7. Okay. But the argument for them potentially having a dynasty in the 1980s, they won a World Series in 1982. But it almost became clearer when they were in the World Series in 87, another seven-game series. I watched Game 7, which was announced by Al Michaels, which, by the way, what an underrated baseball announcer Al Michaels was. Tremendous baseball. And, you know, I forgot how tightly contested a game and Game 7 of the 87 World Series was. The 87 series where the Cardinals were injured and limped to the World Series. They didn't have their star slugger, Jack Clark. They didn't have their star third baseman, Terry Pendleton. And yet here they got to Game 7 of the World Series and were on the verge of knocking out eventual World Series MVP Frank Viola in the second inning. They wiggled out of it, but it looked like the Cardinals were going to put up a nice score and potentially win the whole thing, which would have been their second World Series title. Now, had instant replay existed in 1985, they would have won the 1985 World Series. But here we are in 87. There were three distinct moments where a critical call was blown in Game 7 of the 1987 World Series. In the second inning, St. Louis was winning 2-0. Tim Loudner hit a one-out signal to left. It sent Don Baylor to the plate. Vince Coleman threw home to the catcher, Steve Lake. He tagged Don Baylor. Don Baylor is out. Every replay showed that Twins designated hitter Don Baylor was safe, so much so that Al Michaels gave it a, oh, yeah, and the fans booed like crazy. Now, here's where it gets really tricky for the Cardinals. In the fifth inning, Greg Gagne of the Twins hit a ground ball to first. The Cardinals pitcher Joe McGrain kind of awkwardly ran over to first. Gagne was called safe, but the replay showed that while McGrain's footing was weird, he did hit the bag before Gagne reached. The base actually shifted slightly when McGrain brushed his foot over it before Greg Gagne made it. An argument ensued. It delayed the game. It looks like he did touch it. That's what Al Michaels said. And the Twins tied Game 7 of the World Series on the next play. In the next inning, the game was tied. Cardinals second baseman Tommy Herr got a one-out signal with Jim Lindemann, Willie McGee, and the very hot-hitting Tony Pena. He was on fire in that post in that World Series. We're coming up. And Tom Herr got picked off and after a rundown was thrown out at first. However, the replay showed that not only had Frank Viola balked and that Kent Herbeck could have been called for interference, but that Tom Herr got back safely. And Al Michaels said, outside of that, no problem. Another argument ensued, and the replay showed that Herbeck interfered. Tom Herr got back, and he still got called out in a tie game of Game 7 of the World Series with a bunch of super hot hitters coming up. The Cardinals would not score in that inning. The Twins would eventually win the game 4-2 and be crowned World Series champs. Now think about this for a second. In a seventh game of the World Series, the seventh game where everything was on the line, you could point to that game in 1985 where the Denkinger call was blown. And yeah, it was blown. It was terrible. But the Cardinals could have gotten out of that inning, or they could have shown up for the finale, which I think was 10-0, 11-0. It was, as my mom would say, it was a lot to not enough. But in Game 7, winner take all, a game that was a two-run game and was tied late in that game, blown calls affected three different innings. And I don't want to hear the bad call against the Twins in the second was evened out by the bad call of the Cardinals. What if there wasn't a bad call against the Cardinals? And that's not the point. How would the second inning have unfolded if Baylor was called safe? But most importantly, what would have happened in that inning if they called the runner out when McGrain touched first base? Okay? What would have happened if Gagne was called out then? It would have been two outs and nobody on. Instead of one out, a runner on base, and Kirby Puckett tying the game with the next batter, and Joe McGrain was pulled. With the ties scoring the six, would Tommy Herr's hit be the start of a Cardinal rally? A potential World Series clinching rally? We'll never know because of the blown calls. The end result of a baseball game is the sum total of the individual moments and plays. It's not just that the Twins score those two runs. It's what led to the score being tied at that point. These plays don't happen in vacuums. You know, Kirk Gibson just didn't hit a home run the next year. It wasn't alone. Mike Davis had to draw the walk. The equation and the individual moments and the trajectory of Game 7 of the 1987 World Series was, I'll say it, corrupted by lousy calls. Maybe the Twins break the game open in the second inning, but maybe the Cardinals go on a six inning rally. Maybe a turnover in the lineup affects a later inning. We'll never know. We will never know. And, you know, the Cardinals, the players like Terry Pendleton, Todd Worrell, Vince Coleman, Jack Clark, Tony Pena, Joe McGrain, a bunch of others, they finished their careers without a World Series title. If those blown calls in Game 5 and Game 7, or Game 6 in 1985 or Game 7, 1987, if there were instant replay to turn those obvious calls around, Cardinals certainly win in 85, and they probably win in 87. And then we look back and say, hey, who was the team of the 80s? It isn't that weird, convoluted answer that I gave. Well, the Dodgers, this is the decade of the Cardinals. Three World Series titles. Boom. It's their decade. Now we have instant replay. Now we have it. And I think it's a good thing. It's always a good thing to get the call right. Calls we got wrong, and it changes history because you associate the year with the team that won, right? 2020, we're going to associate with the Dodgers. 2019, you'll associate with the Nationals. Doesn't matter in many ways what they did in the regular season. The best team in baseball in 1987, in terms of the regular season, was Detroit. Nobody remembers that. Nobody. The team that had home field advantage throughout the postseason in 2000 were the White Sox. Does anyone remember that? No, it was the Subway Series. The Yankees won the World Series. Nobody remembers that because you remember who's standing at the end. And twice the Cardinals should have been standing at the end if they had instant replay. What if there was instant replay? You would have a Cardinal dynasty. It was that close. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and check out all the places you get your podcast. And be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Looking ahead and wondering what could have been. This is Locked On MLB for the 17th day of February 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.